heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forest, and it was not there either. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Well, that's where we begin today, friends, as we continue on and turn the lights on here on Voice of a Nation. And the quote that's the complete quote, actually, of the famous I read to you in the first mention here of Alexis de Tocqueville and Democracy in America. What an incredible piece of work and a legacy this man has left for the world. And certainly for America. But that's the full context of where he was going with that America great good. And it's interesting, that resonates with me for a lot of reasons. And it resonates in some ways as well because, you know, coincidentally or not, when this President Trump ran for office, he had the Make America Great Again. Now, think about that a moment here. Now, here's this man that comes out of absolutely nowhere that runs for the president. And, you know, he was not going to win. Nobody had their money on Donald Trump to win the presidency. But he came up with this interesting slogan, a mantra, a tagline, if you will, right? Make America Great Again. MAGA became the MAGA movement. So what happened here, people, he lit a fire under the Republic, and we the people caught on to the fire, and they realized it wasn't really about Donald Trump. And they also knew that he had an ego. I mean, who doesn't at that point? Come on, people. It's a human condition, right? We all have that, right? But, you know, this was a guy that I think what the people seen, what I call middle America, I think good people seen was that it was time to make America great again. Now, when you bring that back to de Tocqueville, as I just mentioned to you, America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Now, listen, as we talked about first time out here, we can parse those words however you'd like to parse them. But I don't think anybody out there can truly look me in the eye here and argue with me and win the debate to say to me that America across the board is good, that you feel really good, that you can sleep at night, you can put your head on the pillow, and you feel solid that America is good. You can't tell me that. There's not a single one of you who can say that to me because you would be lying. It would be a total false lie. So if we're not good, then we did cease to be great. So then sadly, here's the news bulletin I have for you today. It today is America is not great anymore. Does that make any sense? I don't even like saying that, people. It makes me edgy to put out the words because I don't believe it, truly. I'm not sure I believe any of that, you see. I mean, there's a lot of bad cast of characters out there, and I realize what's going on, as I told you, you know, just in the first program. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the fight of good versus evil is in play here. But I'd like to think America still is, I don't know if it's really great, people. I can't really say that. I think the origins of America, the flame of America, the seed of America, the home of the free, the brave, the people, the brilliance, the innovation, the majesty of this nation. Again, as I said, the shining city on a hill, is that what it all is? I mean, that's this America, right? It's the America Ronald Reagan talked about. Yeah, that's the America we're talking about here. So it's good versus evil. But when we take a look at this, I said to you the first day out, I wanted to talk more about Alex de Tocqueville because I find him an amazing thinker. There are some people who, you know, they leave a footprint here on this planet incredibly. There's a whole host of them. But he was one of those big thinkers, and he did that, as I share with you up front. But I want to read you a very short quote he also said that I think is really interesting about morality. Liberty cannot be established without morality, nor morality without faith. Think about that, people. Liberty, which you all believe you have liberty out there, cannot be established without morality, nor morality without faith. So one leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other, right? If we believe that. Well, in God we trust. Is that what it was all about, right? The Judeo-Christian nation that we are supposed to be, yeah? So as I started thinking about morality more and political leaders and the deep state, I started thinking more, people, about our churches, which he mentioned in the opening segue I shared with you, that longer quote. And I started thinking about the sex scandals and the priest and all the hideous things that were going on in the church. I mean, the people that wore the robe, who swore the oath to God Almighty and then molested young children. Put your arms around that for a moment, people, and talk to me about morality, please. And let's talk about the Boy Scouts of America and all the sexual pedophiles and the perverts there. Right? Talk about that. And where's the morality in that group? And that was a major scandal. That was coast to coast, spread from, it was massive, massive. And then look at the powerful people from the Me Too movement, people like Weinstein, the Harvey Weinstein, the Cosby, what a disgrace, despicable, Matt Lauer, Bill O'Reilly, Tom Brokaw, Charlie Rose, I mean, the list is endless. So in fact, since April 2017, more than 250 powerful people, right, celebrities, politicians, their CEOs, they're all kinds of influential folks who, you know, they've all been the subject of this sexual harassment, assault, some sort of misconduct, bad deeds, something they're doing, right? That's good and evil. That's evil. That's pure evil there. But where's the morality in all that? Where's the morality in all that? And then let's touch on, again, you can't have this conversation, people, without talking about Washington, D.C., the center of hell. It's where it starts, where it stops, where it ends, right there in the beltway of D.C. Yeah, where's the morality there? And yeah, the sex goes in there too with the hush fund in Congress and the political money being paid, and they're all getting rich off of money from lobbyists and selling out. And, you know, I don't know how these people function and put their head on their pillow at night. That's the greed. Where's the morality in that? You know, it's greed. It's money. It's what? I don't know what it is. I mean, but you take a look at what's happened with the deep state and the selling out of America and, you know, these two political parties that continue to beat the hell out of each other. And you try to find the morality in all that. Is there any morality today in politics at all? When you take a look at the left and the right, does it exist anywhere? And then Donald Trump comes along. Donald Trump is sort of like I guess I've got to go to baseball because I know baseball. I love baseball. And he's like the cleanup hitter. So what's happened now is his, let's say that I'm not going to say there's two outs in the ninth inning, but I'm going to say we're in the ninth inning potentially. Maybe we have an out. You know, the game is pretty serious at that point. Yeah. You know, and you've got people on bases, right? You've got some guys on bases. You've made some errors and some mistakes. It's been a rough baseball game. It's been a couple of brawls, you know. It's and the enemy, the opposing people who you're playing are winning the game right now. And who comes up to the plate? You need somebody in there who's brazen, somebody, that's a Babe Ruth moment. That's actually a Karl Yastrzemski moment. Number eight, the Boston Red Sox. Number eight, last guy to win the Triple Crown, by the way, in 1967. I just know that from my memory. I just don't have it down anywhere, but I just know it's a fact. Yaz. I used to watch Yaz as a young boy. I used to watch all those guys. And you think of that. So that's where you'd want Yaz there. You'd want Karl Yastrzemski there. You see, you'd want one of those kind of players. You want the clutch hitter, somebody who can get that ball and rip it, kick its ass, rip that ball from there all the way to kingdom coming back again. You see, that's what you need. So Donald Trump comes up to the plate, and the Republican in the middle of the country gives it to Trump and says, okay, here you go. We're going to give you a bat here. Let's see what you can do. Now, remember, you already got maybe an out or so, I think. I'm just guessing. I don't really know people. But it's getting late in the game, as Dr. Timothy Ball said in the opening segment about, the 200 to 300-year spread. Remember that? Remember, America's deep into the third century now. And we've seen all of these fallen empires over the history of mankind. And again, it always happens from the inside out, people. It's always rotten from the inside out. It's never really the outside. I've said many, many, many times, it's not the terrorist groups we have to worry about. It's not the bad cast of characters. It's the people here, right here on the homeland. Those are the people we need to worry about. They're right here, right now. And they're the same people spewing their garbage and their lying and their deep pockets, and they're doing everything we don't want. It goes on. And then we take it, this morality thing, and we come forward, and I started thinking more and more about it, where we are at a country, where we are in this whole fight of good and evil. And how do we recapture the spirit of America? Yeah, how do we capture that? I think back to being just a simple young boy in a baseball game. It didn't seem like these threats. I don't remember the threats being anywhere near this. I know they were still fighting with each other. These political people have done this all their lives because it's human behavior. But how do we recapture that spirit of America in order to capture our principles when we have a society that is crumbling? How do we understand our history? They're pulling it out of the education system. They're tearing down the statues. They're burning it all up. And they've kind of taken over the game at this point. So what the hell are we supposed to do with it? And then on top of it, people, here's the other big problem we've got here today. And nobody's talking about this. Our country is bankrupt. We're morally bankrupt. I just pointed that out to you. We're morally bankrupt. But we're also financially bankrupt. We're economically bankrupt. And now, people say, well, the economy's doing well, Malcolm. Why would you say that? Well, we're morally bankrupt. We're financially bankrupt. On a balance sheet, we're screwed. We're bankrupt. We're already. I mean, take a look at the assets. I mean, we're bankrupt. You'd have to convince the banker to give you the loan. And you can only do that on American exceptionalism, on the innovation, on the republic, on middle America, on we the people, on you. They're selling you. They don't got any. They don't got shit to sell otherwise, people. They're selling you. And, of course, they're selling you out, too. But that's another story, right? But they're selling you. That's what they're selling us. They're selling me, selling you. They have nothing else. They got shit without the American people. What do they got? They got nothing. The whole thing is bankrupt. Our national debt stands at $22 trillion, $22 trillion, $300 billion. It moves so fast your head spins. Go take a look at the U.S. debt clock. Take a couple of pills before you look, people. You'll flip if you've never go looked at it. It's quite the treat. It's sickening is what it is. And, of course, the U.S. Treasury Department, I mean, they've been monitoring this thing, and it's going up and up. And looking at some basic facts here, I mean, President Trump has increased the debt 10%. And you don't hear anything about the debt right now. Now, President Obama, he did it 100%. He went from 10 trillion to 20 trillion people. That's a hell of a raise. He did more in that one administration than every president combined in the history of the republic. What do you think of that? For all you hope and change lovers out there, what do you think of that? That's bankrupt, people. That's totally done. And this is all having an impact on us as we deal with China and we're dealing with other folks. It's a piece of the conversation here. Just nobody's talking about it right now. President Trump comes out and he says, as he's campaigning, by the way, when you have 18, 19 trillion in debt, this was before he was campaigning, they need someone like me to straighten it out. This was early on. They need some, but he hasn't straightened it out. Why? Because the problems are too severe. They're too deep. They're too wide. They're too sea to sea. And those seas are not shining right now. Sea to sea, yeah? And that debt is massive. Massive debt. I can't put my arms even around these kinds of dollars. What's going on here? I mean, the CBO says by 2029, the debt is estimated to reach almost $30 trillion. $30 trillion. I mean, we're effectively, we're going to be up around the 93% of our GDP. We'd be done. I mean, this is numbers from the CBO. And they're not partisan people, you know. So they're living in a fantasy land, people, is where they're living. It's a total fantasy land. Medicare for all, free education, new Green Deal, no more fossil fuels, eliminate modern transportation. And then there's the immigration debacle, all in the name of compassion. As these sexual perverts and pedophiles and greed people continue to bankrupt the country, both financially and morally. Morally bankrupt, he actually even concerns me more, because we can make the money back, but it's kind of hard to get the morality back, people, isn't it? Well, that's the opening conversation here, friend. What's next, America? Where do we go exactly? Next up here, Dr. Jay Lehrer will join us. You heard me talk about him on the opening bell here. He's with me today, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to say. He's an optimist, by the way, let me warn you. But I am as well, people. But I'm also a realist. So let's talk about that next. What's next, America?
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Friends, I'd like you to meet Dr. Jay Lehrer. He's a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition and the former science director of the Heartland Institute. I told you about Dr. Jay Lehrer in the opening remarks of this program, Voice of a Nation. You heard this. It was a profound program. I mean, I thought it was. And he was involved in that email group I told you about with Dr. Tim Ball. So I want to start right there with Dr. Tim Ball. We'll come back to many of the opening remarks and points I just made here. Dr. Jay Lehrer, you said in your response letter to Dr. Tim Ball in that profound email, which was depressing, and this stunned me, Jay, it was a wild morning for me. I as busy as I was, I took about 20 minutes, Jay, walking around that room, looking at that letter, thinking, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? I'm thinking, what the? I mean, it was like, I've never seen anything like that. It just floored me, you know. But you said in your response letter to Dr. Tim Ball, you said, Tim, I do not disagree with anything you say. I just will not give up regardless of how small my personal contributions may be. So, if you don't disagree with anything, Dr. Tim Ball, and I understand they're not giving up, then you're saying that what Dr. Tim Ball puts out there, that we're in jeopardy, and the way he puts the 200, 300 year mark out there, and with what he says in our union, then if you're agreeing with some of that, you've got to be concerned, Jay, are you not?
I'm definitely concerned, Malcolm, but everything that Tim Ball said in his depressing email is not unlike the many depressing things that you just said in your monologue. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with all the bad things going on, but I'm a student of history. And if you go back decade after decade and century after century, these kind of things have always existed. And man's goodness ultimately has overcome them. I mean, it has not brought this nation down, and many people could have made comments similar to yours just made and say, the country is going to hell in a handbasket. There's no way to save it. But my faith is in people, and there is a huge amount of wonderful people in this nation that ultimately come to the fore. Right now, Donald Trump is the man who came forward. A few centuries ago, it was George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and other great people and Ronald Reagan. I'm always confident that though the bad things that Tim Ball mentioned and that you mentioned moments ago, while they exist, there are good people to fight them. And as you also said, it's a battle of good versus evil. And I'm going to bet on good every time, even though at times it looks grim. Now, it looks grimmer today than ever, mostly because of social media, our ability to have instant information and news. We all know that, that bad news sells, and the people that put out the bad news buy their ink by the barrel, and now, of course, it's much easier on the internet. So we're overwhelmed by bad things all around us. I maintain they've always been around us. They just didn't cover us up.
They have, Jay. They have. But people want, you're right when you talk about the media today, and specifically social media, you're right, it's a major component of news that people are getting their source of news from. But people want instant gratification, Jay, is what they want with their information. And then what's happening is everybody is adding to this cycle, because if you watch social media, any one of them by chance, the information coming across there is most negative, very despairing. Everything from the Mueller report to everything that's happening out of Washington right now. And they're using all that for a source of entertainment. What I'm saying, it's being spewed from coast to coast, and it's being thrown out there constantly. And so what's happening is that's where the mood of the country, I think, is very low. Because people are dealing with negative garbage, and they're throwing it out there for their own benefit of trying to get more followers and more likes. They throw it out there consistently. It's one of the problems we have, Jay, with media, and specifically social media. So it's become an epidemic is what I'm suggesting to you. Do you see what I mean?
I do, and I don't think you're wrong. But again, I look at my circle of friends. I look at 4th of July parades and Memorial Day parades, and I look at the gatherings of wonderful people that are enjoying each other, that tend to let all the bad news just flow over their head and not allow it to affect their daily lives.
Is that good or bad, Jay? Is that good or bad?
I think it's good. I think it's...
There's a good part of those people you just talked about that have their head in the sand, Jay. There are a lot of people who don't want to get involved in this stuff, even to the... So what you're saying, it's not just they're really ignoring it. Some of these people aren't even voting, but even those that are, they're not paying attention while we're being robbed blind here. So what do you say to that?
I say that people have to live their lives. I mean, you and I, we go out every day trying to make the world better, and
absolutely,
we're fighting great opposition. But when we go home at night into our own immediate surroundings, we've got to put it aside and live our own lives and do well for our friends, our family, our children, so that we do have to compartmentalize our lives. I do. I mean, I'm a warrior 12 hours a day, and I live a private life the other 12, and I don't let it discharge my batteries. I have got to recharge my batteries with all the good things around me every...
No, there's a lot of truth to that. But Jay, the problem is a lot of these people, what I'm trying to get understand, I know what you're doing, but listen, a lot of people have turned the channel off. That's all I'm saying. They're not paying attention, Jay. You see?
I don't agree with that. I don't know anybody who's not paying attention.
Well, but you're not hanging with those people, my friend. But there are a lot of people around the country, I'm telling you, they've turned the channel off because they don't want to spend any more energy with the buffoons.
Well, I don't know that is a bad thing. I mean, we're surrounded by negativism. Everything you said about the big debt we have, but I know economists that will argue that it isn't such a terrible thing. I don't know people who have given up their morality. I think that the fact that the crazy things going on in Washington, they're out in the open, and I think that it's going to turn objective, well-balanced people to recognize how terrible they are, and that when in the next election they're going to say, wow, Donald Trump is the best thing we've had in a long time.
It's a fight. I mean, it's a fight. Trump is just, as I said, my analogy of the baseball field, and he's in that. What inning? What? Let me ask you that. What inning do you think we're in?
I don't think we're past the sixth inning, and there's something you don't know about me, Malcolm, that I'll tell you right now. I'm the oldest person you will ever meet that is actively playing senior men's hardball. I'm a catcher. And I play tournaments all over the country.
I love it.
82 years of age. I play in tournaments where there's no stealing because as a catcher, I can't reach second base anymore. I work to make sure I get the ball in the mid of the pitcher. But I do understand the analogy of a baseball game, and I live it. It's the greatest game. I've played it all my life and still am. So
yeah.
I do not think at all, looking historically.
How serious is it at this moment? So when I judge the nine-inning game, I'm talking about how serious it is, Jay. I mean, isn't it very serious right now?
It is serious, but I always go back, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing, and my job in life is to get good people to be active.
Well, all right, but hold on now. You just said you were okay with people turning it off and turning the channel to having their head in the sand. But listen, if people are uninformed, what we're talking about now is an uninformed populace, Jay. If the people are uninformed, that can't be good. So I'm trying to point something out to you that you're not admitting to me yet, because you seem to, the people you're hanging with are informed. But there are a lot of people who have turned this channel off already. They don't want to be informed, and they're over it all. They don't want to follow politics. It's an ugly, evil game. And they all they hear is the sound bites on the MSNs and the CNs and the network channels, and that's all they get is that information, and they think America is doomed. That's my point. So I'm saying as a nine-inning game, it's a pretty serious thing, but if people have turned it off and they're uninformed, an uninformed populace cannot be good for the Republic, Jay.
Well, while I agree with that, I think that a certain amount of turning off the negative is a very good thing to do. And I don't know, I actually do not know people that are totally uninformed. They're fed up with the negativists. They're fed up with Washington and all the crazy people saying that socialism is better than capitalism. But I think it's very difficult to be totally uninformed. I mean, you learn from your friends. You're bound to be reading something. Few people don't see or hear something on television. And I still have faith in people's ability to reason what makes sense.
I know you do.
Does it make sense?
I know you do, and I couldn't disagree with you more on the point you just made. I absolutely fervently disagree with you on that. I get it. I respect your opinion. I just disagree. I believe that there are far more people uninformed and totally turned it off than you believe there are. And I think that's widespread out there. I think it's widespread. And it is a problem, because without an informed populace, we're nowhere, really and truly. And the people that you're speaking about are, but let's face it, Jay, you're a scientist, for God's sakes. You're a doctor, you're a PhD, you're a student of history. You're an optimist. You're a stand-up. I mean, you're a different character. You're not. Not everybody goes out and does what. I mean, let's call it as it is. So let me just. And I'm not saying that to pat you on the back or make you feel good, but I'm just stating the obvious or the facts, Jay. Okay. So you're not the average. You're not the average cat out there. So let's call it what it is, buddy. You're not the average cat. Okay. You know, and you're not hanging with average cats either.
But the most important thing about me, which I preach everywhere I go. I mean, I have the good fortune of being able to stand in front of many hundreds of people on stages lecturing on a wide variety of topics. And one of the things I preach is optimism. Everybody knows that pessimism is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right.
So is optimism. It doesn't really do good to start out your day with a very negative outlook. You're not going to get as much done. So I preach that people should look at the positive side of things. I'm not talking head in the sand. I'm talking analyzing the good from the bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, there was a lady that I wrote about some time ago. You may have even heard of her. She may be 100 now. She's 90. If she's not 100, she's 99. But her name was Tao Porchon Lynch. She was a yoga teacher, the world's oldest yoga teacher, okay? And I'd love to talk to this woman. I'd love to get her on the program. If somebody knows her, reach out to Tao and get. I would love to have her on here. But she gets up every day. The reason I bring her name up, Jay, is she gets up every day and says, this is going to be the best day of my life.
I do that too. I do it at night. Every night before I go to bed, I analyze what the day is going to hold. And that is absolutely my goal.
That's what I'm saying. You're like Tao. She's a yoga teacher. She's the world's oldest yoga teacher. I've got to ask you something. What's funny is I was just saying that about this is going to be the greatest day in my life. I heard birds chirping in the background, which was a beautiful thing, by the way. Are you near the outside? Are the window open or are there birds chirping?
The birds are chirping. I am near my room is.
No, I just love that. Listen,
in the woods.
Listen to how important. I didn't hear them anywhere through the program. Now, just stop a minute and think about what just happened, buddy. You talk about the fact, and we'll talk about that ahead. Faith and optimism and trust. God, we trust. But listen, I go ahead and I talk about this is the best. And right at that moment, the birds chirped. Did you hear that?
I heard it.
And I didn't hear them when I was talking about the debt. Exactly. So I rest my case, Your Honor. As a student of history, and we're back to the optimism of America, and I'm trying to pull out as much wisdom as I can from your knowledge of history and understanding why you have such confidence and ability to believe in America, other than to say you're optimistic, that's fine. But let's talk about facts. You're a scientist. You deal with facts. You deal with data points and facts. But if you, again, as Tim Ball mentioned, if you look historically at the world, humanity, people, I mean, nobody's made it this far. So I want to ask you, I mean, again, the Romans failed, the Germans, they've all failed. I mean, the Greeks, they've all failed. All these empires have failed and they've tried. And so back to what's different. So let me ask you a moment. Help me and help listeners understand back to that optimism. Is it just raw might and optimism when we say American exceptionalism? What is that that pulls out a guy like you and I who make us so riveted about life and so appreciative for all of it and blessed to get up in the morning and feel that way, Jay? What is American exceptionalism and why does America make it past the third century, brother?
Well, it's certainly the founding fathers. I mean, if you study the Constitutional Convention, if you study the weeks and months they spent writing the Constitution, you study the fact that these men essentially gave up their wealth and their lives to make America great. We have a founding group of people and a document that set us on a path superior to any other country in the world. Now, many of them said, you know, we've set this government up. We hope you can hold on to it. And as you've so well described, we're losing a lot of the goodness that they set up for us. It is a battle. But I have worked, Malcolm, in 50 different countries of the world, and I have seen different populations, civilizations, and government. And it becomes very obvious that we have the best system of government and the best people. Charity is one thing you have not mentioned. We are the most charitable nation in the world. It's just built in us to give whatever extra we have to others that are less fortunate. And as I compare what we have to the 50 countries I've worked in, I recognize our goodness and our superiority. It is challenged. The founding fathers knew it would be challenged. And as you point out, many civilizations have crumbled. I am very confident that while we're into the third century that others have not reached, that we will overcome and that we will come through this, and that the greatest people in this country will recognize the crazies that are trying to drag us down.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me take a deep breath with all of you listening here and tell you again, you're listening to Dr. Jay Lehrer. Dr. Jay Lehrer was, we talked about him in the opening sequence and in the opening program here of Voice of a Nation, and that really unbelievable email we received from Dr. Tim Ball. If you've not heard episode number one, you must go back and listen. Am I right, Jay?
Absolutely.
It was a stunning program. How did you feel about that as a listener? You didn't know what I was going to, you had no clue what I was going to talk about or what was happening. I mean, you knew the program was launching, but what did you, I'm curious, what did you think as I didn't know, well, I would ask you this, but I do want to know, what did you think of the program when you heard it?
To tell you the truth, I was absolutely shocked, because when I got the letter from Tim Ball eventually saying he was throwing in the towel, he was tired of battling, I sat down and responded to him instantly. I took absolutely zero time to think about what I was going to say. I just sat down and wrote. And when I heard you read it, it amazed me that I certainly caught a few moments of inspiration and was, you know, ecstatic that you saw it as being a really worthy commentary to point out to others. So, I actually, had chills and goosebumps and was thrilled, because I really think I was inspired for a brief moment to put down my thoughts and to support my position that, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing, we must never quit.
What I took away from it, Jay, is what you were just talking about. I was inspired by it. I think, in fact, now that I think about that, Jay, I even said on air, actually, the first shot out, that I first questioned why he sent the email back to me in the way that he did and addressed it to me, that opening correspondence. And then I looked at it and I said, why the hell you sent it to me? What am I supposed to do with this? You know, but then I thought further and I thought, well, he did me a favor. And then I really thought about it more, Jay, and I really thought he did me a favor. And the reason I used it for the opening bell here and that rallying call, Jay, that we opened up the program, was I really felt truly that he did me a favor. He did you a favor. He did, I think, America a favor by pointing out how it appears right now to a man who doesn't live here in this country, but follows it very closely, and how things really appear to him and what's really happening out there, Jay. And I thought he put it out there in a very succinct way. So I appreciated it at the end of the day, and I appreciated him. It blew me away, but I was inspired, if that makes sense, Jay, as well.
It totally makes sense, but it really happens more often than you think, that a negative thing leads to a positive. There's an expression often in religion, when one door closes, another door opens, or at a child level, you know, turn lemons into lemonade. And I know most people can try to do that. Take a negative and see if you can turn it into a positive, or see.
Well, Jay, that's the definition of success, Jay.
I don't know any successful people who have not, face difficulties, who have not been fired in a job before they, got a better job. But you're absolutely right. It's climbing out of problems is absolutely what leads to success.
Well, in the media today, they're still trying to point out Trump's shortcomings and the fact that he filed bankruptcy. They're so aghast about it. It's like, can you believe this man was, that was a recent story. Well, he lost like the most money of anybody. Well, that means he's going to be the biggest success of almost anybody, I thought to myself. I said, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
In 1987, I heard Trump give a speech after he'd written the book, The Art of the Deal, and the whole speech was about his failures.
He was also a very colorful speaker, and that's why, you know, he uses a lot. He used a lot of language in his speaking early on. You remember that, Jay?
Yes.
And that's why I never thought, that's why we're that, you know, what does it mean when you're not presidential, Jay? Well, what does that mean?
To me, it means you're just honest.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
I'm going to ask you to go to thewoundedblue.org. That's www.thewoundedblue.org. That is the website for the organization that is the National Association for Injured and Disabled Police Officers. It is a support organization for these men and women who have given so much in the line of duty. We desperately need your help to raise money to get this movement going. And if you are a GoFundMe-er, go to GoFundMe, look up The Wounded Blue, and you can give there as well. But check it out, please, and also check out our film, The Wounded Blue, on Amazon.com.
Jay, I think you know I'm an optimist. Do you not, or do you think otherwise?
I think you're a realist, Malcolm, because you never brush aside the negative things that we face every day, mm-hmm. but you're a hopeful person for sure. Hopeful.
Now, when I drew the dots there, when we connected the dots in the opening sequence, Jay, and I talked about the morality of the political leaders and the deep state and the church and the sex scandals and the Boy Scouts and the powerful people and the CEOs, when I throw all that out there like that, where is the morality in all that? There is no morality there.
Oh, I think there is morality among good people, and I think most of the people you're describing, frankly, are emotionally and psychologically disturbed. I think all 20 people that are running for the Democratic nomination, if you were to have them psychoanalyzed, you would find they all have serious problems, mm-hmm. and they really want to foist those problems on others. The bulk of the people that you would talk about putting their head in the sand or not being involved politically, I'll bet you'd find they are very, very moral people. I think they're far more moral people in this country than immoral people, but the immoral people get all of the publicity, all of the social media, and so we get the idea that the country is going to hell in a handbasket and people are no longer good. I don't believe that at all. The really good average citizens, they don't get the publicity. They don't get talked about on social media, and they wouldn't want to. So our view is skewed by the way the press and social media sees the world. I see a little farm community that I live in, and I go to a 4th of July parade, and I watch people hugging each other and shaking hands and talking about how their families are doing, and I see the real America that de Tocqueville saw.
The 6 o'clock news is all about mayhem, murder, rape, and it's all negative. It's what I said to you in the first episode, in fact. Why do people watch or listen and put all that into their psyche? I think it's my job to throw cold water on America. We need to wake America up. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does make sense, and I do that all the time. And it's funny, I once ran a sizable company, and when I was interviewing people for jobs, I would first tell them all the good things about why they should join the company, and then I would try to talk them out of joining the company by understanding all the negative things they'd look at. So you need balance.
Typically, I give them the dose of reality first. I do it flip of you. So I give them the God's honest truth up front. I give them the facts and the negative stuff there, and then I flip it, and I build their spirits. But I definitely go after them to tear. If they need to be torn down, I'll do it. If they need a dose of cold water, I'll give them the cold water, Jay. But then I'll pick them up and let's move forward. Let's get over the mountaintop. So that's kind of where we're at now. How do we get over the mountaintop? One of the big moments historically we seem to be at in the intersection of America is this word socialism. And when I talk about what next America, you know, what next America? I want to read you again. My theme today has been de Tocqueville. And I want to read you this real brief quote here, which, and this is one of the best ones to me he has said, Jay, and it speaks to what I wanted to talk to you about. And it's this: Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom.
Amazing quote. Amazing quote.
My friend, that is the most brilliant thing, I think. And de Tocqueville said a lot of brilliant things, Jay.
And that's exactly, you know, you mentioned socialism and you mentioned the education system. Mm-hmm. They are the biggest problems. I mean, the liberals, the progressives, the anti-capitalists have taken over our public education and our mm-hmm. colleges. That really is America's biggest problem, and we need to figure out how to re-educate people who grew up thinking that socialism is okay, when in fact it has failed everywhere. It has caused millions of deaths. It's produced tyranny, and yet our younger people don't understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I see where we're at in the intersection of where these people want to do this equality thing, and they want open borders, and they want everybody. It's all about, you know, I heard just Pelosi the other day giving the president hell again for separating the kids from the mothers. Her biggest problem with immigration is that we're separating the kids from the mothers. That's the only thing they've got. That's all she's got. Of everything that's happening and all the egregious things that are taking place, that's her soundbite, people. Because, you know, politicians got to have a soundbite, and that's it. Now, if that isn't the sickest thing you've heard, when you add up all the facts and then you see that this is what she says, you know that that's a problem. So this fight of good and evil is right in front of us. When I hear de Tocqueville say Americans are so enamored of equality, and think about this, people, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. That's a big deal. So what they're doing is they're trying to pull us down. And when I say they, there's a whole lot of them out there. This, what we sometimes reference as a deep state, it's a really status quo. And it's left and right, both people. It's all over the political aisles. It's everywhere. And they're trying to pull the whole system down. They want to shoot America in the foot, and some of them in the head even. But they're willing to do whatever it is to do that. But again, that's the force of evil and where evil is today. You keep thinking about more and more of this, and you get a sense of how sick it all is. And then you hear, you know, I pointed out early in the show about the New Green Deal and all of that, friends. And I got to tell you what, when you think of, and I told you about the debt, and that's, we're going to have a whole bunch of conversations about this debt ahead, but I got to tell you, and then they want to add more debt with the New Green Deal, and they want to add, and then they want to pull transportation, fossil fuels, and so what, we'll have no more modern transportation. We'll go back to an 18th century somewhere. So what I'm doing up right now is I'm teeing up the conversation to invite Dr. Jay Lehrer back. Because of the quote I just read, it's probably the most profound thing de Tocqueville said. He said a lot of cool stuff. I got a whole bunch of stuff here. He said, democracy in America again. And boy, I'd love to, I wish it was possible. I'd love to interview de Tocqueville, not possible, obviously, but wouldn't that be something to sit down and interview? I don't have de Tocqueville here, but I have Dr. Jay Lehrer. How's that? All right. We'll have Dr. Jay Lehrer back on next week, and we'll talk about, I want to talk about socialism with him, but I want to talk about the New Green Deal, fossil fuels, what's going on. Now, he knows all about this. I mean, this is his deal. He's centered to this conversation. He can talk about all this from experience and understand what's going on. But remember that quote, people. That's a big one. I want you to take, that's a takeaway from today. Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. Well, friends, I am not interested or worried about equality. That is not, it does not concern me, and I've never been worried about it. I'm worried more about the Republican American exceptionalism. I'm more worried about convincing people to get off their asses and go do with it what they want to do in their life, to be everything they can be in their life. That's liberty to me. It's your freedom to do what you want. It's your freedom to be successful, or your freedom to sit on your sofa and be an idiot. It is your choice, but it is your choice. No one's going to make that choice for you. That's what it comes down to. So we have to convince more people to get involved in the game here. That's what it's going to take here. And this is on all cylinders. I mean, we've got a lot of work to do. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves. We got to tackle this debt. That's going to come out. It's going to be a political, it's got to come. I don't know if it comes out before the 2020 election. You would think it would, because we're headed in the wrong direction. And Donald Trump knows we are. He knows we've got to handle that debt. We can't keep taking on the debt we're taking as a nation. I mean, we're economically bankrupted on a balance sheet. Morally, we definitely have, we're bankrupted to a degree, although that's a conversation Dr. Jay and I have balanced back and forth. The evil people have the sound bites. He pointed it out pretty well, people. The evil people have the sound bites. You got to remember that now. And that's the big problem we're having here. So if I go by his word, he believes there's far more people that are optimistic. There's far more people ready to roll up their sleeve. There's far more people that are going to be powerful in the nation. So my question to you, are you one of those people out there? Are you ready to roll up your sleeves and be part of the answer? And that really is the question you got to ask yourself. If you're willing to do that, you become part of this, and then, you know, maybe it's not the ninth inning, and maybe we don't need all of that, but we take nothing for granted, people. Take nothing, and that's the other problem. A lot of people take too much for granted. Please don't take anything for granted. America is too serious. It's too important to take America for granted. Don't take America for granted, please. This version of freedom must live. It must live on for future generations.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
So the Voice of a Nation you can hear every day, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the network, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Again, you have the Android, Apple, or Alexa apps. They're all free, friends, and the programming is fantastic across the board. It's a 24/7 talk radio stream you can pick up. You can listen when you're exercising or doing something else in your life. And again, most people are listening to radio now on their smartphones to begin with. Or you can get us in the car on plenty of dials, iHeartRadio, AHA Radio. There are plenty of major apps you can get tuned in. Just America Out Loud Talk Radio. All your cars now come with the apps on the dashboard, and that's how you find us right there as well. Or plug your smartphone right into the car with your USB, and you're good to go. But that's a great place to listen to America Out Loud Talk Radio anytime you wish. It's always going to be there for you. This show, 6 p.m., weekdays, you'll catch the Voice of a Nation. If by chance you're out for dinner that night with some good people and you missed the program, and when that hand, I realize that will happen from time to time. The next morning, you can catch the encore at 8 a.m. The email address here is liberty@americaoutloud.com. Next, I'd like you to meet Arnetta Notkin. Arnetta is spent 30 years working on Wall Street. She was a Board of Trustees member for Children's Advocacy Center, a school and community hospital. She calls herself a constitutional centrist, really. She's made a mark. She's very loved out there in social media land. They love Arnetta and her messaging. And I want to welcome her on here. She's part of one of the producers here at America Out Loud and part of our team here on this Voice of a Nation. I want to ask you right up front, Arnetta, what was the attraction for you? You've been seeing, you started watching America Out Loud and some of the things, and I guess what I was doing through social media, and you were part of this 200 list very briefly. I don't want to go down that road, but you were part of this Hillary Clinton email and the article that ran on Politico, for those that you may not be aware, where they were trying to go after certain influencers out there in social media who were putting messages out there. Talk to me on what was the attraction to this network and to myself.
Well, Malcolm, we are at a point in our history where we have free will and we can make a choice. For the first time ever, we are good versus evil, and the evil has a chance to take over if we continue to sleep. We who believe in good and have always felt that good will overcome. And I became aware that we are, in fact, in a position to lose our country if we, the people who believe in the good, will always overcome. If we don't do something and stand up, speak out, and fight back this evil that's taking over our country, we will lose it. And your message was, be the voice of the people. And it's not that people are not informed, they're misinformed, because they don't have a choice of where they get their information. You offer that choice. You and America Out Loud offer that voice. Yeah. And you were kind enough, and actually it's, I believe, your mission, your vision. You opened the platform to offer the people, the silent majority, a way to be informed, but also to validate them as the backbone of this country and give them a voice to speak out, to get involved, and to help save our nation for our children, our grandchildren, and future generations.
Well, it always comes back to we the people now, and that's where the power always is. One of the things I've noticed on a lot of the social media, I mentioned it to Dr. J up front, is that it is very, very negative, and people are using a lot of the political points and a lot of the bad news out there, and they're using it as a narrative because it's, you know, poking fun at the system, of course, can be fun. Or I guess what I'm saying is this. Politics has become a big source of entertainment for many, for millions. It's a source of entertainment. Now, it wasn't initially supposed to be that way. I mean, politics, you'd think it would be serious business that's running the country, running the nation. And that's, you know, it's your life is at stake, people. I mean, if you have no country, if you have no protection, you're in the Wild West at that point, people. You got nothing. Think of America as your protection. America is, it is, it's your home. But that's the country you love, and that's the country you need to not only respect, but you need to save. But that's the difference. And I think that people have lost their ways, and there's a lot of reasons why that's happened. But I think the negative information out there and the way we're using that as entertainment, the lines have blurred. They blurred dramatically between politics and entertainment. It's really entertainment, politiment. I don't know. There's got to be a word that matches it. Enter-olitic. They're combined. So it's one. It's one conversation now where we're entertaining people. It's become really fun. It's like sport, Arnett. It's sport, and it's just fun now that people throw this out there. And so what's happened is, and that's what I see happening with all the media talking heads that are exploding, and all the others. It's all sport, and they're all throwing it out there on the Barbie, and all this stuff is again the desensitization of America is in place, and I think people are being left with a choice, a very difficult choice, because there's not a lot of freedom-loving media outlets available today, Arnetta. They don't exist. The radicals have bought the whole farm up, which I pointed out in the opening episode and will continue to point out to people. So we have to be a voice for freedom. We have to be a voice for liberty, right? That's what we have to be a voice for. So it's what it comes back to. So people like Arnetta, and you've heard many other voices on the platform here, friends, and you'll hear them in the days ahead. There's a lot of other brilliant people that are associated with America Out Loud. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com and look at the lineup. I mean, you heard Dr. Jay Lehrer. He's a columnist on the platform as well. But there are so many. I mean, it's too many to start mentioning, because if I mention a couple, you got to mention them all. You know how that goes, right? There's just a lot of brilliance there. So I encourage you to check that out, please. And these are we the people. Be the people in action. And we the people want to take it back. They want something more. So my message to we the people, it's time to get involved and get loud. The Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.